Okay. I thought I'd start by having you do some work. Okay? Because frankly, I don't get paid enough to do any work. So, what I'd like you to do is just get nice and quiet, okay? And just inside yourself. And be honest, there's not any right answer. There's not any wrong answer. We don't have a car to give you if you, you know, if you win anything. There's nothing to win. So just whatever comes, that's going to be the right answer for you. All right. What is your basic, on a real nitty-gritty level, what is your everyday reality? What is the value that governs your life on an everyday level? Be honest and be fair. Okay, and ask yourself also, what is it that I am constantly chasing after? Okay, and ask yourself, what do I want to achieve in this life? And then ask yourself, why? Okie dokie. Who'd like to share? Anyone's free to share from here or in phone land. I guess if you're going to do we need to give? Okay. Okay, so there was basic value of fear, or basic premise of fear, value of love, and wanting to achieve being with God, because that's all there is. Okay, who else would like to share? Okay, the lady on in the rocking chair.
Productiveness and being centered was my first.
Right.
Energy and balance was my second.
Energy and balance.
What do you look for? I look for energy.
That wasn't
and balance.
Okay, that wasn't the question.
Oh, what was it?
Okay.
Energy and balance.
No, it was the value upon which you...
No, I'm chasing energy and balance.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
And... what do I want to accomplish? I don't know. I used to know. I don't know.
Okay.
So
all
I
right.
can't. I cannot answer why.
Okay.
That's
all right.
My truth.
Okay. Go ahead. Anyone else like to share?
Governed by fear.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing after goals.
Mm-hmm.
And then. Really, when I got real, I mean, that was real honest.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
oh, yeah.
I really want to know God mm-hmm. directly. That mm-hmm. was real honest.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know about that is that it's the only thing that lasts.
Okay.
And I got to see that all that other stuff wasn't lasting.
Oh, okay. You mean the gold doesn't last?
Yeah, and it's just a kind of a bad training.
Okay. Well, that's very honest. I appreciate the honesty. Okay, go ahead. Macbeth?
The first thing that came into my mind when you said value was fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, that can't be it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be something else. So I said, truth. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely truth. But then it didn't ring true. So I settled with fear. And then chasing after, the first thing that came into my mind, what am I constantly chasing after? It's a sense of home. I always want to feel at home wherever I am. And then what does that mean to me? It's love. It's acceptance. So then I settled on the word acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that means the same thing as love, but mm-hmm. acceptance. What do I want to achieve? Peace in my heart.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to really believe that that means being close to God.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because it's terrible not having peace in my heart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
good. Okay.
Dr. Lane, could you repeat the first question for me?
Okay. What? Anybody remember the first question?
What is the value upon which you place your life?
Okay. What is on your everyday activity?
Right.
What is the value?
Okay, because I had the answer, but I didn't remember the question. So the value is love and God.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what I was always chasing was a sense of myself
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
love.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the sense of self is about being comfortable with myself when I'm mm-hmm. alone with myself.
Okay.
And I don't. Mm-hmm. And it's very up for me right now
okay.
that I don't. That's missing mm-hmm. me in a big way.
Right.
And then what I want more than anything is to know God and be with God.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent. Okay. Let's do one more. Anyone from Phoneland? Or... Okay. All right. Well, Phoneland is kind of quiet. Okay. You know, there's a famous cartoon of two Buddhist monks, and they're talking about how this world is an illusion, and they're talking about it just as they cross a train track, and bingo, train comes and of course kills one of the monks. Okay, and the other monk is sort of looking back, scratching his head, going, gosh, I thought it was an illusion. Nope. Okay, so it's not so much that the world is an illusion, although it is, but it's that the values underlying the world are illusionary, okay? It's very much like, see, you're sitting on that chair, Edward's sitting on that chair, and you're sitting on different chairs, so it looks like you're in different places, okay? And that you're individuals, but you're not. Okay, the reality is that your spirit, and you're all sitting in the same spirit together. You're in the oneness of the Holy Spirit or the sound current. Okay, it looks like the chair that you're sitting on or this table is solid. Okay, it's not solid. Okay, a lot of empty space, just atoms whirling around, and there's a convention. Matter sort of has a convention, and the convention is, or the agreement is, we'll look like we're solid, but we're not, okay? And to the ego, it looks like we're these beings isolated in time and space, and we're not, okay? And that we are, in fact, spirit, okay? But the world operates with a different set of values, all right? And if you take a look at what you were saying and putting forth, and I really appreciate the honesty of it. There was a tremendous conflict between either your value and what you, the value in which you base your life, and what you were going after, okay, or vice versa, okay? And so many of you said fear, okay? And this is a fear-based planet. It's all based on fear, okay? That's one of the illusions of this place. Fear that you're separate, fear that God has kicked you out, fear that you're not good enough, fear that you're unworthy, etc. It's a very fear-based planet, okay? And the teachings teach us that the journey of the soul is from fear to love. It's from fear of God to love of God, okay? That's the complete karmic journey of the soul. However many embodiments it takes, is however many embodiments it takes. Okay? All right. And also, see, in some of the responses, you can see the confusion of the soul. And the soul is confused. And remember an earlier talk where I talked about confusion, fusing together of the negative polarity and the positive polarity. So it's confused in that sense, okay? It's matter, it's in matter, but it's spirit. Okay, the soul is in matter. Okay? And it doesn't know where to look. It's still going outside in the world of form. See, it's in the world of, we're in the world of form. There's lots of different form here. You know? But the spirit in us is formless. And we're eternal and we're in the finite. Isn't that interesting? That God puts himself, because he lives in us as us, he puts himself in the finite. Okay? And the soul, because of the karma that it has created, it doesn't know itself as spirit, as soul. And so it looks out there. Okay? And the soul may spend a lot of lifetimes looking out there to feel at home. Okay? This world is not your home. Plain and simple, okay? The home is in the spiritual heavens. We know where they are. They're inside of you. You know, it's really interesting. As a matter of fact, I listened to another really wonderful scholar on old Christianity and the Gnostic sects and all that, and it was really a wonderful lecture, but he had absolutely no clue when it came to talking about what was meant by some of these extra-biblical, shall we say, canons, and the ones that are not accepted, that talk about going within, what that meant, you know, and what it meant to have knowledge. No idea what that meant, okay? And souls don't know. Here was a scholar who didn't know, okay? The soul itself in our everyday experience, the soul goes out and looks out there to feel at home, to belong, for its identity. And when we sit in the meditation that I teach, we're doing the opposite. We're going in and we're going up. We're going in inside of ourselves and we're going up, not in directional sense, but we're going up to God, to the spirit we are. Okay, otherwise, because the training from the reincarnational patterns is to do the opposite. It's to go down and out. So the pull of karma out into the world, and that's the soul is looking out there. It's looking out there. It's looking out there. And it tries to find its place out there. And it takes profound training and profound development of spiritual strength to know to go in and up and to stay there. It's very much like I was talking to an initiate, I believe it was yesterday, and she said, gosh, it's so easy to get pulled out. Yeah, it is. It's so easy to get pulled out into upset, into emotionality, into fear, hurt, doubt, and pain. You know, and the last satsang or two, I spoke about sort of the cycle of the soul, that we come into this thing called life, which is really death. So here we are, we're dead. You know, just because we have a body, people call it life, but we're dead. It's known spiritually as dead. And we come into death so that we can have life. Okay, and the life that's talked about is the second birth through the gift of initiation into the sound current or the Holy Spirit. That's the way of the Christ. Okay, and that's our spiritual destiny, to become Christed, to have our consciousness one and the same with God's. Okay, and that is what we're charged with. That too shall be fulfilled by you. That's in each and every one of us. So that's our spiritual destiny. Okay, to be Christed, to be one with God. Okay, but we do this while we're in the body. Okay? And so we come into this thing called this life, and we're dead. Okay, then we have all these attachments, you know, and everybody thinks I must be like a Buddhist because I, you know, talk about non-attachment. Okay. I'm not a Buddhist because I don't believe in obliterating the ego. And I'm not a Buddhist because I'll tell you what's underneath the attachments. Okay, and that's a basic sense of not worthy. That we're not worthy to be with God. And if you really, really take a look at your life and what you're chasing after and what you're trying to do, you're trying to find some kind of system of being worthy or plugged into the world's value of status and power, etc. It could be social position, money, that sort of thing. Okay, what we call the bright lights. And the false self just chases after that, chases after gold. Okay? Okay? But Jesus the Christ was very smart. He was very, very smart. He knew people. He was a master psychologist. He was fucking brilliant. Okay, you came back from France, so I wanted you to feel at home. Okay, so I said that. When he told us to store our heaven, to store our treasures in heaven. Put our treasures there. Put our value there. Because all the things of the world, they pass away. Okay, you know, it's interesting to me. As I see people getting older and older and older, and I see them going through so much physical stuff, and bodies do what bodies do, and they've spent their lives being very successful in the way of the world, and they're left with nothing. They have nothing other than their identity with the physical body, and now it's falling apart. That they don't know what to do. They're beside themselves. Okay? They have nothing. They don't know that they're spirit. They haven't a clue. Okay? What happens when their body falls apart? Well, a lot of them don't go in for belief, so they don't have a belief. And even if they had a belief, it wouldn't be true anyway. So there's a real kind of, oh my gosh, I did everything I was supposed to do in my life, and that wasn't it. Yeah. And guess what? You can get born again, and you're probably going to do the same thing, okay? Until from the depths of your being, you cry out and ask God literally for help. Literally for help. And I've seen it happen. I've seen when a soul is so beside itself that it turns to God and asks for help in in its journey, doesn't know what to do anymore, is totally beside itself. And then, lo and behold, guess what happens? The karma of that soul is altered to such an extent that soul will soon encounter that teacher that can take that soul home to God. And all that soul did was cry out. Okay, it knew. Bingo, that was it, folks. I can't do this anymore. Okay? But what is it you can't do anymore? Okay? Well, I can't not be present with God. Really, and if you take a look at all your activities, it's because you don't feel worthy of being with God. Okay, and by the way, being with God doesn't mean you sit there in your monastery or in your convent and do nothing all day. Okay? It means inwardly your consciousness is aligned with God. And from that place, instead of being driven, you're moved. You're moved by the Spirit. You are. Okay? And the false belief of the isolation we have, you know, that we're isolated beings. Okay? But we need to know that we're not to have any worries of the day. And that we are totally and completely supplied according to what is exactly needed. And it's kind of like the other day somebody called me and said, she was in ecstasy because she'd been doing all this service and helping, etc., etc., and was in joy. So I said, well, what are you calling me for? Sounds great. Well, I'm calling you to see what it is I need. Whoa. Isn't this weird how we're set up? Here you are, that you're with God. You're having these experiences of being filled with joy. You're being strengthened in that. And you think there's something lacking, because the consciousness thinks it's an aberration. There's something off. That there's something really off. But we are meant to have joy. The nature of the soul is joy. See, and so many of us go for happiness. Happiness is very transitory, and it's based on duality. If you're happy, you're going to be sad. Why not go for joy? Why not go for joy? Yeah, and then you'll encounter things that may, you'll have some happiness with. Yeah, fine, but to pursue happiness, whoa, that's really settling. Plus, that's what we do. We're always pursuing. Okay, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to try to do this, I'm going to try to do that. Or, I want to be with God. Well, that's very nice, and I think that's a wonderful sentiment. And as long as you want to be with God, you never will. Because it's separation, you want. Okay? Okay, and I was struck also, see, I asked a trick question. I said, what do you want to achieve in life? Okay, and that's an indication, the achievement, that you're driven and that you're being pushed out instead of allowing and having in your life. Okay, and not being driven, but simply being moved. Okay, if you're trying to achieve, it's outside of you, and there's the attachment. And attachment's a really funny thing. You know, if we're attached, for example, if I'm attached to my having to beat Edward in a game of basketball, then all this time that the years pass, the decades pass, then I'm totally evaluating myself in those terms. And so how I feel about myself is totally dependent upon whether or not I've beaten Edward in basketball because of my attachment. Okay, well, that's just a dumb thing to do. So I'm waiting on the day I'm going to beat Edward in basketball. Okay? But, Okay, if I'm always present with God, then guess what? Yeah, it'd be nice to beat Edward in basketball, but it really doesn't matter. Okay. By the way, I was only down 7-5 against my son, then he pulled away. But I never scored again. But it was, you know, it was one of my great, great, glorious moments on the court. Okay. So, and I'm stuck, and I'm attached, okay, and I'm not present. All right? So we have this attachment, and the attachment takes the place of being with God. See, I'm not good enough to be with God. So, what will compute will be I beat Edward in a game, or I have more money. Okay? Or I have my Mercedes, or I have this, or I have this fame, or this success, then I'll be okay. Then I'll be okay. Then I could be with God. Okay? So all this time, we're not with God, and we're waiting to be okay. Well, but God lives in you as you. How could you not be okay right as you are? See? And then also, we talk about spiritual reference points. That instead of judging where you are, oh, this is wonderful. Wow. Or this is terrible. You don't know whether it's good or bad. That's just in duality anyway. Why not just have a spiritual reference point? Okay, this is exactly where I need to be for my learning. It's exactly where I need to be for my learning. So I'm here now. So let me enjoy it. Let me bless it. And let me take advantage of it. And let me get the learning. Let me get the karma. Understood. Or, better yet, if I'm an initiate, I don't even have to understand the karma. I could have it cleared. But I'm here. So let me accept it. So I need to accept where I'm at. And I need to accept, and this is crucial, I need to accept my responsibility. What did I create? I had to create it, I had to permit it, allow it in some way for it to be here. It just doesn't happen otherwise. So I'm in this situation and, oh wow, I'll be okay when I get out of this situation. Or God's going to be there when I'm out of the situation. He's not in the situation. Because this situation is so terrible, God couldn't possibly be in it. You know, or so a wise initiate mentioned in passing the other day, said, isn't it interesting how, like, we can trust God except, like, when it comes to our wallet or when it comes to our kids, or somehow we feel like people may judge us if they know what we're really involved with, so we don't share. Isn't it just wonderful that God's everywhere except where we choose him not to be? You know? It's kind of like, and I don't mean any political thing because I'm not involved with that again, but it's kind of like the mayor taking the SUV escort to the subway station, skipping a couple of subway stops that are local, and just being driven, and then having great publicity that, hey, here's our mayor taking the subway. You know? It's a lot like that. You know? God's going to be everywhere except in those places that we have decided he's not. Okay, so the drivenness, the fear, the not good enough, the unworthiness, the lack, the separation. The ego lives by that. The ego causes the separation. it's the ego separates, and all the training that we have is is ego based, and all the psychology we have is ego based psychology. Okay, and it teaches us separation, and it teaches us, quote, what's really healthy. Okay, and of course, spirit doesn't have a chance because it's not part of the system. So spirit is treated as it always is, something external to us, you know, or there's this higher power, okay, and it's outside of us, okay, but there's nothing outside of us because we shall have dominion over all things. That's what we're charged with. We shall have dominion over all things. So we're at the pinnacle of God's creation. We're at the pinnacle of His creation. And we were created in the beginning as souls. That was the original karma. The only karma that I even bother to teach is the original karma. That's when you were created as a soul. Out of the sound current, out of the Holy Spirit, the same spirit that God is. That's how we were created. We're created like that in the beginning. And that's the manifestation of God. That's where we come from. And we've forgotten. And so we allow all these forces on the planet. They may be invisible, but they're very strong to drive us. And we're driven. Okay? And when we're driven, we're at fate. Okay? We're at fate. Okay, and we're here to be the masters of our own fate, both in the individual life, by not allowing ourselves to be driven, by not allowing ourselves to be under karma, but by knowing that we're spirit and by being under the spirit. And also, we're the masters of our destiny in terms of our soul. See? And you're living proof that you are that powerful. Because guess what? It's all the karma that you've created that results in your wearing those bodies. Nobody did it to you. You're so powerful, you can create this. You can create that karma. So if you can create that karma, then guess what? You can learn to use the power in a good way. Okay? What's the power? It's like an NWA album, right? Fight the power, right? Okay? But what's the power? Okay? The power is exactly the antithesis of what the world teaches. The power is in surrender, in letting go. In letting go of our identification with our emotions, with our hurt, with our pain, with our fear, with our upset. Okay? With what it is we allow to drive us. And it's surrendering into love. Okay? It's surrendering into, and this is real hard for Westerners, but surrendering to the teacher. And the teacher's just an outer form, you know, representing God. God's so vast you can't relate to Him. So God sends a teacher that you can relate to and work out that and grow in that love. Okay? And that's the way of, it's called bhakti, the way of devotion, the way of love. And that's how you reach that place inside yourself. I personally like a little bit more bhakti and a little less ajita, but that's, you know, I guess that comes with that growth and with that development. But that's how it's set up. Okay? That's exactly how it's set up. All right? And that needs to be our value. Instead of fear, we replace it with love. Okay? Okay? Instead of achieving, we replace the with allowing and trust. Okay? Okay? And it's interesting, when we get out of life, when the soul completes its karmic journey here, guess what? There's not going to be any record of the souls having been here. Its footprint here is cleared, as it were, because there's no karma. Karma will have been cleared. Okay. Right. And, you know, a vital part of the teachings is that we are worthy. We are good enough. Okay. That God lives in us as us, so that we're the gold. See, the thing we're really chasing after and what we're trying to discover is that's it inside of us. Okay? God's the hidden one, and God's hidden inside of us. And he's hidden inside of us so that we can exercise our volition, our free will, our choice to find him. Okay? And we know where home is. Home is in the soul realm. When we're free of the reincarnational patterns, being with God while we're in the body. That's our home. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Okay. So fear, hurt, pain, separation, power, status, control, making it, being successful, all that kind of stuff. Okay? That's the way of the world. The way of God is love and surrender to the love. And whatever you need in the world, guess what? It's given to you. Okay? And let me just end by sharing a story I've told a few times, and I don't mind telling it again. Although you may very well mind that I'm telling it again. But hey, okay? What do you want for $5? I was once on my way to an appointment and I passed the Rolls-Royce dealer. And they had in the window the Rolls-Royce that Liberace drove on stage. It was the ugliest thing. It had all the weird jewel bedeck stuff in all different colors. The whole entire hood, you know how big an old Rolls-Royce hood is, right? Entirely covered with that stuff. It was the gaudiest, the ugliest, the tackiest thing, okay? And therefore, I had to go into the showroom and see this thing up close. Okay, so I'm seeing this thing, and I, wow, you know, Rolls-Royce. And as I'm looking at this, registering Rolls-Royce, the Spirit said to me, well, if God can give you the keys to the kingdom, then what the hell is the big deal about a Rolls Royce? And then I went, oh, I got it. Okay? Everything we value here and put so much focus on and think is the pinnacle, is and think it's the pinnacle of the world and of having and of wonderfulness and of greatness is nothing compared to what God gives us and has given us. And also, everything we strive after and lust for and want, hey, it's God's pleasure to give us that. We don't have to strive for it. We don't have to lust for it. We don't have to hold it up there as the pinnacle, because that which is of utmost value, the keys to the kingdom, initiation into the sound current, and hopefully, I like to take it another step, and hopefully the initiated soul will be smart enough to open the gift of initiation, okay, that the keys of the kingdom and to the kingdom are of the greatest value, and here in the world, it's of the least value. So things are upside down and backwards. Okay? And the myth of reality is just that. that which we value and strive after has no value, and that which we have totally cast aside is the most valuable. And you've been given the most valuable. Okay? And it's not one or the other. Because Spirit said, if God can give you the kingdom of heaven, then what the hell's the big deal about a Rolls Royce? Surely you can have that too, if you want it. You don't have the attachment to it. Okay? It doesn't have the value that the world puts on it. Okay? And that's the myth of reality. And I like to go with the realness of what is valuable, even though the world treats it as the least. And that is the keys to the kingdom. And to your freedom, and to the jailhouse of matter. And the prison of matter. And if you've been given the keys to the prison of matter, well, you're rich beyond your wildest dreams. And everything shall be added unto you in perfect timing. Some of you try to rush the process. Some of you try to doubt it. Some of you try to find security and all sorts of weird things. Okay? And things of the world. Those things come and go. Okay? But it's the eternal one inside of us. That's forever. Okay, and that's the thing that's most valuable that the world finds the least. And that which the world finds most valuable is the least. So I encourage you to get real, as they say. And I'll stop with that. Okay, I'll be back in 5 minutes for...